Good morning, everybody. In the biographies of Rav Kook, they write that they asked Rav Kook, what got him so excited? He lived in Europe. He was born in Europe. What got him so excited about moving to Eretz Yisrael? What encouraged him to move? So he said, when you read the Chumash, starting from Parshas Lech Lecha, everything revolves about Eretz Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu to go to Eretz Yisrael. And the rest of the Torah till the end of the Chumash, everything all revolves about Eretz Yisrael. It's interesting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, you should move to Eretz Yisrael. Be'ezcha l'goy gadol, I will make you into a great nation. The Jewish people are referred to as the goy, and the other people are referred to as a mishpacha. There's a big difference. The word goy, the Radak has a dictionary for biblical Hebrew. So the Radak writes in his Michlol, in his dictionary, that the word goy comes from the word giviyah, gimel vav yud hei, gevi nasati lemakim, the body. If you have a family, so you have parents, children, cousins, uncles, aunts, different individuals who relate to each other. They get along, they don't get along, whatever, they relate to each other. If you have a goy, the people are considered one big entity. It's considered as if it's one big giviyah. So the only, we refer to the Nochrim as Goyim. That's a Yiddishism. But strictly speaking, we're the only Goy. Because Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh makes it as if we're all connected with each other. But by the Yom HaSa'ilam, they're really Mishpachas, they're not a Goy. That's why many of the Rishonim assume that all of the Brachas and all the Tefillahs are supposed to be recited in Biblical Hebrew. So one of the brachs that we recite every day, Shalom Asani Goy, so that's a Yiddishism, that's in slang. In Biblical Hebrew, you don't refer to a non-Jewish individual person as a Goy. We call the nations of the world Goy who are Ratzis, that's a Loshon Mushal, that's a borrowed expression. Really, correct, if you speak correctly, they're Mishpachos Adoma, they're families. The concept of Goy only applies, we're the only Goy, Mikam Sogeachem, we're the only Goy, Alpidin. How do you translate "v'nivruchu b'chol kol mishpachos v'adama"? So the pashut pshat is that it's miloshem bracha. When the umas ha'olam want to bless their children, they say you should be successful like this Jewish rabbi, like this Jewish person who was so successful in life. You should be brilliant in school. You should do well. You should succeed in life like Pliny, the Jewish person. Miloshem bracha. The Rashbam learns "v'nivruchu miloshem havracha." To graft a branch onto a tree. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Avraham Avinu that he should accept Gerim. He is able to, any non-Jew who wants to join the Jewish nation is welcome to. That's why Judaism is not racism. We say that the Jews are different from the Umas Olam, but we say anyone who wants can join to become a Jew. You can have the same dinim as the Jews. A ger has almost all of the exact same dinim as a Jew, very slight differences between the two. So that's the lashon nivrucha b'chol kol mishpachos v'adama. And that's how Avraham Avinu knew. It says when he moved to Eretz Yisrael, in accordance with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's instructions, he moved with him ha-nefesh asher osu b'choron. So the pashut pshat, ha-nefesh asher osu b'choron, he took along the abodim in the shvachos. That was before Lincoln freed the slaves. There was still an institution of slavery in the world. So there was a slave market. So he bought Nefesh HaShe'ar HaSebechoron, all the slaves and all the maidservants that he bought, that he acquired ownership of. Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Nefesh HaShe'ar HaSebechoron refers to the non-Jews who had converted to monotheism, that he was Mekabel Gerim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Nivruchu B'cho, Miloshen Habrocha, I give you permission to accept the Gerim. Then the Torah tells us that he took with him Lot. And after a while, there was a dispute between Rai Mikne Avram and Rai Mikne Lot. So Avram Avinu says, there's so much room here in Eretz Yisrael. You go, you live in one direction, I'll give in the other, live in the other direction. So the Pasuk uses the expression, Ma'isa Lot Mikedem. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, does mean that he moved away from the east, Mikedem, or rather Mikadmonu Shalolam. He decided to give up monotheism. He's going to give up on the Jewish religion. Calls Mani was together with Avraham Avinu. he was a chassid of Avraham Avinu. But then because of money, Avraham Avinu says, where do you want to live? Wherever you live, I'll live in the other place. He, Pasuk says, he lifts his eyes and he sees, he couldn't predict the future that Sdom and Amor are going to be destroyed. So he sees that that's where all the money is. And even though he knew, as the Pasuk says, Anshei Sdom roim machatoim Hashem miyod, the people were sinners, ben adam lamakam and ben adam lachaverah, nonetheless, he made the decision to live there, to move where the money is, where he's going to get richer. This story is recorded in the Chumash to teach us the lesson that when we decide, when we get married, we decide where we want to live. We should always decide to live in a Jewish neighborhood with Talmid Chachamim, with Tzaddikim, that we should be influenced by them. Here, Lot decided to move where the money is, and he ignored the fact that the one should do in Roy Mechatayim L'Hashem Yod. So the Pasuk describes by Yisalom Mikedem that he that decision means that he gave up his whole, he left Kadmon Shalol, he left HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chumash speaks about the war between the five kings and the four kings. So the one of the leader of the four kings was Kedor LaOmer. So there's a Gemara in Chulin in Perek Elutrefus. The Gemara says that you have to write Kedor LaOmer on one line. You can't write it on two lines. So in the old Sifrei Torah, there are different versions. We have Kedor LaOmer written as one name. So what the Gemara is saying is, if you have a long word, let's say you have the word L'mishpachoy Sehem, and it's the last word on the line, and there isn't enough room to put in nine letters, L'mishpachoy Sehem. So can you write like in English, you'll write a few letters on the end of the line, then you put a hyphen, and then you continue the missing the second half of the word on the next line. So that's what the Gemara means, that Kedor Lomi can be written on two lines. Whenever it's one word, it has to be written on one line. That we understand. But other old Kisveyad of the Sifrei Torah have Kedor LaOmer written as two different words with a blank space in between. We don't write it like that. We write Kedor LaOmer as one word. And even though it has a blank space in between its two words, nevertheless, the Gemara says it has to be written on one line. So based on that, the Ramah has a Churman Hilchas Gittin that lets a person's name is Yankov Yisrael, and he's divorcing his wife. So he you write, I, Yankov Yisrael ben Ploini, I'm divorcing my wife. So since he has two names and it's all his name, you have to write, even though there's an empty space in between, but in these old Kisveyad, Kedor LaOmer was written with an empty space in between. So the both names should be written on the same line. And then you write the next Ben on the next line. A woman told me a story a few years ago. I was at the wedding of one of the boys from the yeshiva. And this woman comes over to me. She explains to me how we're related, a very distant relative. She was there because the chassan who had learned in the yeshiva was a relative of hers. It came out that I was a distant relative of the chassan. I found that at his wedding. So the woman tells me a story that she was very young and she got married at the age of 17 or something. And she realized within a month that she made a mistake. So her father was a rabbi in the Bronx, and her father called up my father. My father used to be Masari Gittin all the years. When the woman met me, so my father had already passed away, so it was too late to discuss it with my father. So the woman tells me that her father called up my father, that his daughter needs a get, that the marriage is a big mistake. So my father said, okay, he'll arrange for the whole get. So my father used to do the Gittin at our home. So the young girl came, she was a very young girl came, she was sitting in the kitchen with my mother. My mother was holding her hand, calming her down. She'll get another shidduch, don't worry about it. And my father was sitting with the husband and the sofer in the other room. The sofer authorized the writing, the husband authorized the writing in the get. And the sofer wrote the get. My father was watching ready. He wrote it. It was late in the afternoon. And the minig is that you do a get by yom. The minig is that l'chatchili need a bezdin. By the get, there's a Loshon of Rashi in the beginning of Gittin that you have, the Gemara has an expression, Adin, Mishen Edebet Hidgit Nikidushan Lo Yehela Esik Imohim. So Rashi says, you have to have a Dayan who's Mamuna ala Gittin. So if you have to have a Dayan, so we act as if you need a Bezdin, Mikiradin, it's a Chumah, you don't really need a Bezdin. But it's a Chumah that you should have a Bezdin for a get. So since there's no Yeshiva's Bezdin Balailo, If you have yeshivas bezin mayom, donim mayom agam and balayla, if the bezin began it didn't turn in the daytime, they can continue into the nighttime. You can't begin a yeshivas bezin balayla. So there's a minig that lachatchila you do a get bayom. You don't do the get balayla. So this was late in the afternoon, and my father sees that the sefer finished writing the get. So he says, oh, he wasn't watching when he wrote it. The husband had two names, Yankov Yisrael, I think, whatever. And the sefer wrote the first name on the end of one line and the second name at the beginning of the second line. So the Rambam writes in Ebenezer, lechatchila, you shouldn't give such a get. But b'dieved, if you gave the get, b'dieved, it's kosher. So the shaila was, we sometimes have a klal that shas hatchak yedid domi. The shas hatchak, we would allow lechatchila something which is only acceptable b'dieved. So here, would we consider this enough of a shas hatchak that we should, the get wasn't given yet? They just finished writing the get. They're waiting for, you have to wait till the get dries before you give it. It's ksav sheyochel imochik, calls man that the ink is wet. So you have to wait till it dries. So when they realized it was already late in the afternoon, if they're going to have to write the get over again, they won't be able to do it on the same day. It's still going to be the shkia. It takes a little over half an hour to write a get. So they'll have to come back again the next day and start everything all over again, and the girl will be aggravated again. So that was the shaila. Is this enough of a shas hatchak to say shas hatchak kedi evidami that you permitted lechatchila to write to give the get the way it is now rather than to require that they should come back the next day again? So at that time, Rav Moshe Feinstein was still alive. That was a long time ago. Moshe was alive, and people would call up a child. So my father called up, and he explained what the shaila was. And Moshe said, you can be mekel. You can give the get the way it is. That's enough. Shas hatrak. The girl has enough aggravation. We don't have to aggravate it tomorrow that they should come reconvene again all over again. So that was an interesting hayroa. Moshe had psokim on every page in Shulchan Aruch. Shailas came up, and on every sif in Shulchan Aruch, he had a hayroa. So he considered this enough of a shas hatrak. To be mekel that you can give the get the way it is now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, Kul misalach baratz la'orko l'rachbo kilucho etteneno, and it's a little bit unclear what was this all about. When Avraham Avinu walks around the borders of Eretz Yisrael, kilucho etteneno, is that a promise that's going to be fulfilled in the distant future when Yeshua ben Nun will conquer Eretz Yisrael? So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fulfill that promise, kilucho etteneno. Or should we assume no? That this constitutes the Kinyan Chazaka. Walking around the borders constitutes the Kinyan Chazaka, and Avraham Avinu acquired ownership of Eretz Yisrael at that time. What's the difference? Well, the walking around the borders was just a symbolic act. That's why Rashi quotes. It was just a symbolic act to demonstrate that Kibush Haaretz will be a cinch. There won't be great difficulties. And Kiluch HaTanenu is a promise that's going to be fulfilled in the distant future when Yeshua ben Nun will conquer Eretz Yisrael, or should we assume that he's kind of right now, walking around the borders constitutes a Kinyan Chazaka? So one Tana in Baba Basra and Daf Kuf, one Tana is of the opinion that walking around the borders constitutes a Kinyan Mizbanazet. We learn it out from the Parsha of Avraham Avinu. Okay, but we don't pass like that Tana. So that Tana is clear. So the question is, we don't accept that. Do we say that when Avraham Avinu walked around the borders, that was a Hiru Ashur, that was the Kinyan Chazaka, but it doesn't work today? Or should we assume, no, even as a Hiru Ashur, it wasn't the Kinyan Chazaka. It was just a symbolic act to demonstrate that Kibush Haaretz is not going to be too difficult. It's going to be easy, like walking around the borders. So the Gemara quotes in Yesh Nechlin, the Gemara in Baba Basra quotes the view of one Tana, that this was exactly the Shiloh of the Menoist Tzalofchot. We usually assume that the Menoist Tzalofchot had a question, what's the din if a man dies and he only has daughters, he has no sons? If there are sons and daughters, so the sons get the Yerusha, the daughters don't get. If he has only daughters, do the daughters get Yerusha or not? So one Tana says, no, the Benoit Slavcha knew that din also. The Shaila that they were asking was a different Shaila. Their father, Slavcha, Ben Chefer, was a Bchor to his father, and the Bchor is entitled to Pishnai. But the Chumash in Parshas Kisetze, when it has the din of a Bchor being entitled to Pishnayim, it says Bchor, it says that he gets the Bchor only gets Pishnayim bin Muchzuk and not in Ra'ui. Let's say the father bought sweepstakes. They have sweepstakes. So people buy a ticket for $2 and have a chance of winning $16 million, whatever. So let's say the father bought a ticket and then he died before the drawing. So after the father dies, then he finds out then that he just that he won $16 million. So the Bechor is not entitled to Pishnayim on that. If the drawing was while the father was still alive, then it's called Muchzok. The drawing is after the father died, then it's called Roy. Or that's another example of Roy and Muchzok. Let's say there's Abram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Let's say, for argument's sake, that's not what happened. Let's say Yitzchak dies before Abraham Avinu. That's not the way it happened. Abraham died before Yitzchak. So let's say Yitzchak dies first. Yitzchak has two sons, Yaakov and Esav. And let's say, for argument's sake, that Yaakov is the Bechor and Esav is the Poshet. So Yaakov is entitled to Pishnayim. So all the millions of dollars that Yitzchak had, so Yaakov gets a double portion. What about the property that Abraham had, which Yitzchak is Yorish Bekever? Yitzchak dies first, and then Abraham Avinu dies. So that's the Loshon HaGemara. Yitzchak is Yorish Bekever, Lahanchel Banav. So his children, Yaakov and Esav, get the Yerusha, not only the money that belonged to Yitzchak at the time of death, even the Yerusha that he gets from Abraham Avinu. But then Yaakov, the Bechor, doesn't get Pishnayim, and Nichsei De'Avu Ada'aba, on the property that belonged to the grandfather, because the father, Yitzchak, didn't own that property at the time of death. So one Tana in the Gemara claims that was a Sotik of B'nai Slavchad. The suitcase that the father Slavchad had, what did they have when they were traveling in the Midwest? So they had Bizas Mitzrayim. Everyone knocked on the next on Abis doors on Erev Pesach and asked for Matanah. So that's Bizas Mitzrayim. And then there was Bizas Hayam. All the Mitzrayim drowned. And then the bodies swept up on the banks of the Yamsuf, and then there was jewelry there. So the people had Bizas Mitzrayim, that Bizas Hayam. So Tzlofchad was entitled to Pishnayim when his father Chayfa died. He was and the daughters get from the father. So Tzlofchad was entitled to Pishnayim of whatever the father had in the suitcase. What about the big property in Eretz Yisrael? They're going to divide Eretz Yisrael. Should we assume Eretz Yisrael mechzakeh se me'avaseinim and mo'is Avraham Avinu? Do we assume that from the time that Avraham Avinu walked around the borders, he acquired ownership of Eretz Yisrael? Avraham Avinu died and went to Yerusha to Yitzchak. He died and went to Yaakov. He died and went to the Shvatim. So Chefer already possessed the shit. They didn't divide the Yerusha yet, but he already owned a big chunk of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, Tzlofchad ben Chefer would have been entitled to the Pishnayim in his father's property. Or should we assume, no, that Kilucha Tenena was a promise that's going to be fulfilled in a distant future, and it was Ra'oi. It didn't become Muchzak till the days of Yeshua ben Nun, when they conquered Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Im du v'yeshma ma'itzav Hashem lachem. I'll have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't know. Why didn't he know? The Gemara raised the question, why didn't he know? When Moshe Rabbeinu was sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give the prophecy to Bnei Yisrael, he said, and then it says, I will give Eretz Yisrael on the Hashem. So, and he delivered that Nevuah word for learn. So Moshe Rabbeinu himself was not sure. What did he mean? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu mean to tell him, to tell Bnei Yisrael? He said over the Nevuah, word for word, Rasati Osalachem Morosha. Morosha means a Yerusha that already belonged to Avraham Avinu, and it's Takem Muchzok. Eretz on Machzakasim, I was saying to Mois Avraham Avinu. Then Tzlofchad ben Chefer is entitled to Pishnayim and the real estate in Eretz Yisrael. And then the Bnei Tzlofchad get from the father the Pishnayim and Nechsei Chefer. That was the Sofik. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Nason titen lahem achuzas nachalo. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, Kefal Lashon Nason titen? So that's what the Mefarsh Machomish say. That's what got this Tana to give that interpretation. Nason titen means, yes, they are entitled to Pishnayim, that the Eretz Yisrael belonged to Avraham Avinu from the days he walked around the border. So Moshe Rabbeinu was wondering, so when I delivered that Nevuah before Yitzias Mitzrayim, Nasati Yosalachem, Morosha, does Morosha mean Yerusha? Or does it mean something else? So now he finds that Marosha means Yerusha. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu use the word Marosha? So Marosha means, that in English, there are two words. There's an inheritance and there's a heritage. An inheritance means my Rin Shokal died, and I got the Yerusha, I got $25,000, and I can do whatever I darn please with that $20,000. I can stand on the corner and distribute it like the Bavitcher Rebbe, giving out dollar bills to give to tzedakah. I can put the money in a savings account. I can burn the money. I can buy a house with it. Whatever you want to do with the money, you can do. That's a Yerusha. Morosha means a heritage, something that you got from earlier generation that you have to transmit. It's understood you have the responsibility of transmitting it to the next generation. So that term, Morosha, only appears in Chumash in two places. Eretz Yisrael is Morosha, Menasat Yisrael Lechem Morosha, because Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people, but we have no right to give it away to anybody else. You have the obligation to transmit it to the next generation to see that it remains by the Jews. And then it says, Torah Tzivulana Moshe, Morosha, you have an obligation to transmit the Torah in its entirety to the next generation. So that's how the Tanna got this to say this interpretation, because the Kefa Loshen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Abenu when they had the Shaila, B'nai Slavcha, No Son Titein Lehem, Achuzas Nachalo, yes, they are entitled to the Pishnaim. That's the Loshen HaGemara. It's on Mechzakas Himi Avisenim, Moshe Abraham Avinu. Even the Chachamim who disagree with the Tanna Reblazer, and they hold that walking around the borders, Bizman HaZeh, does not constitute a Kinyan Chazokeh, but on the days of when Avraham Avinu walked around the borders, it was a Hayru Ashur that it was a Kinyan Chazokah. Rav Lezer holds that it's not a Hayru Ashur, it's a Din L'Doros. And the Chum say, no, Avraham Avinu was Takiko in Eretz Yisrael by walking around the borders. But in our generation, that does not constitute a Kinyan. Pasuk tells us that after the war, there was a war between the five kings and the four kings. And then Avraham Avinu was notified that one of the five cities that was conquered was Sodom. And his nephew Lot decided to move to Sodom, despite the fact that Anshe Sodom Roim Mechatayim Lashem Yod, because at that time, the Tnei Shachay Salikim Mesoritz, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed Sodom Ba'amora, Ad Matzoyim, before these cities were destroyed. So it was green, pasture there, you become very rich if you move over there. So that's why Lot decided to move over there. So after the Vayava Hapolit by Yagali, Avram Avimavina finds out that his nephew was kidnapped. The whole city's dom was taken into captivity because they all lost the war to their four kings. Avram Avinu felt obligated, even though his nephew was no longer Vayisa Lot Pikedem, he gave up. He was no longer a chassid of Avram's monotheistic religion. He's no longer interested in associating with Avram, but still, the Jewish people have to fight for the right causes. So you have to, it's not right. People shouldn't be enslaved. So he put together an army, and he won. He waged war against the four kings, and he won the war. So the Pasuk says, after the war was over, Malkitzedek Melech Shalem came out to greet Shalem, Rashi quotes in the Medrash, as Yerushalayim. So he came out to greet Avram Avinu, and he said, Baruch Avram L'Kel Elyon, Baruch Kel Elyon, Shendigin Tzarecha B'Yodecha. So the Gemara in the Dorim points that he did an improper thing. He planned to give a blessing to Avram Avinu and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Derech Eretz dictates first to say Baruch Kel Elyon. And then you say Baruch to Avram Avinu. And he first said Baruch Avram the Kel Elyon. Baruch Kel Elyon Hashem Migen Tzarecha B'Yadecha. So the Gemara says that he was punished because of that. That it says V'hu Kohen L'Kel Elyon. At that time Malkitzedek Melech Shalom was a Kohen. And Kohuna usually goes over to the children. So the children should have become Kohanim, but because he did this improper thing, Higdim Bichas Eved L'Rabo, first he gave the bracha to Avraham Avinu, then he gave the bracha to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why the Chazal understood, V'hu Kohen, V'ein Banov Kohanim. The Kohuna was taken away, he remained a Kohen, but it didn't go over to his children, and the Jewish people took over the Kohuna later on. So many Sfarim on Shulchan Aruch, they write that there's a common practice that when a person drinks schnapps, a person drinks wine, say, wish him l'chaim. Why do you wish him l'chaim? Because in the Mishnayos, in Sanhedrin, they tell you when a bezin would administer the death penalty, skila sreifa herig v'chenik, if they ever administered that once every 50 years, how often is it? It's so far-fetched. You have to have hasrat tochadidim immediately before the person is about to do the avera. Has to be materatz malamisa. He says, I accept the hasrat, I know what I'm doing, and the other rabbi, give me the death penalty. Which Meshuggah is going to be materatz malamisa. The whole thing is so far-fetched. But on the books, there is such a din. So the Mishnah has, officially, if they're going to give a person Mises Bezim, we don't want him to suffer too much, unnecessary. He's gonna lose his life. It's gonna be painful. But we try to make him a little bit drunk. So they would give him a drink, a very strong wine, a schnapps, so he shouldn't feel the pain of losing his life. So that's why when people drink schnapps today, you shouldn't think that this is going to be lamavas. They say lachaim. It's not going to be lamavas lachaim. So usually the common practice is that a person has a cup of schnapps. And he says to everybody, lachaim, lachaim, lachaim. Then he says shahakol. Or he says lachaim, lachaim, lachaim. Then he says bar priagofen. So lachaim is a bracha to a bas of adam. And bar priagofen, a shahakol, is a bracha to a kodesh bohu. So that's what the kafachaim quotes earlier, poskim like that. It's a bit. A pizza. Pesach Frank quotes this from 100 years ago. They said that it's not proper. More correct is first you say, Shahakal abar piagov, and you take a sip, and then you say to everybody lachaim afterwards. It's not right to be magnim, the brocha lachaim, the brocha to the boss of Adam. So I remember years ago, there was a group of balabatim who had a seder to learn together every Thursday night. They learned Masechah Shabbos. It took forever. Masechah Shabbos is gigantic mesichta, and they only learn once a week. So after 20 years or something, they made him see him on the whole Masechta. So they were so excited. They had a steak dinner with champagne. And I live in the neighborhood. I was friendly with some of the people who were in the group. One or two of them used to go to my weekly shiur on a different day of the week. So they invited me. So one of the people had the champagne. So he says, L'chaim, L'chaim, L'chaim. Then he says, Bar Piagofen. So one of the other Rabbanim who was invited says, no, no. And he says over what it says in the Kaf HaChaim in this form. You're supposed to first say the Bar Piagofen, and then you say L'chaim. So the next one said, okay. So he says, Bar Piagofen, L'chaim, L'chaim. Then he takes the sip. So the rabbi says, he has charata. Why? He told him. Now he was mapsik in between the Bar Piagofen and the drinking of the wine. He's supposed to say Bar Piagofen, take a little sip, and then you say L'chaim to everybody else. There's a tshuva, Rabbi Lezer Gordon. Was the rabbi in Telz. He's known as Rabbi Lezer Telz. He founded the Telz Yeshiva. So Rabbi Lezer Gordon has a collection of tshuvas where he discusses the following shaila. Let's say a man is getting married, or a man is getting divorced, and you write in the ksuba, you write in the get, ploni ben ploni ha-kohen. So does it mean the father is a kohen and the son is not a kohen? So we assume no. Ploni ben ploni ha-kohen. Ha-kohen goes both on the father and on the son. They're both kohanim. Some have the practice, you have to write Ploni HaKohen Ben Ploni. Because if you just write Ploni Ben Ploni HaKohen, maybe the father is a kohen, the son is a cholo. So we assume not so. If you write Ploni Ben Ploni HaKohen, the word HaKohen goes on both. So what's Taka the din if the son is a cholo? What if the father was a kohen and he married a grusha? So the father was a kohen, but the son was born from the father married a gioris, so the father married a grusha. So the son Taka is a cholo. So what do you write in the ksuba? You're going to write Ploni Ben Ploni HaKohen. Usually the word HaKohen goes on both. And here the son is not a Kohen. So Blazer Telzer writes in his collection of Tshuvas, he should write Ploni Ben Ploni V'hu Kohen. Because here the Gemara has a comment. The Gemara in the Dharm says, it says, V'hu Kohen L'kel Al Yon is a mute. Hu Kohen V'ein Beno Kohen. So whenever you write V'hu Kohen, it means only he was a Kohen, and it wasn't transmitted to the son. Okay. So once in a while, if you have such a case, that the father is a kohen and the son is a cholo, that's the practice. That's how you should write. The pasuk says, "Melech Sodom requests of Avraham Avinu, ten li anefesh v'aruchush kach loch." So we usually assume that Melech Sodom is offering Avraham Avinu matana. If you want, you can take the ruchush. And Avraham Avinu says, "No, thank you." Lo tamani hasharti es Avraham. He turns down the matana. So the Sfarno and the Ramban al Torah, they explain, no, the Pshat is the reverse. Al Pidin, there's an international din, al Kibush Mulchama. It's a Sugin Gitna Daf Lamed Ches. The Gemara says, if the Jews waged war against the Goyim, or the Goyim waged war against the Jews, or the Goyim waged war against a different Goyish country, and one country wins the war, so the victorious army is kind of all the property, the Karka with the Metaltalim, with the people. Whoever wins the war is kind of all of the property. So there was a war between the four kings and the five kings. The four kings won the war. So all the five cities belong to the four kings now. Then Avraham Avinu wages war against the four kings and he wins. So he now owns all the nine cities. So once you own all the nine cities, he's obligated to give Maisa Ksofim, There's a midas chasidus to give tzedakah ma'aseh k'safim. So it says, "Vayitan lo ma'aseh mikol." Why did he give ma'aseh mikol? So the Medrash says that Malkitzedek Melech Shalem was Shem Ben Noach, and he had a yeshiva Shem Yever. So and when the Sifrei has a comment on the pasuk in Chumash Dvarim and Re'e Aser Te'aser Eskal Tuaz Arecha. Why does it say aser te aser a keif aloshin? So we assume lo di b'tor k'lishen b'ri adam. So we darshan l'shon is kfulim. That's a machleg z'Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. So we have accepted Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Lo di b'tor k'lishen b'ri adam. Kodesh Baruch Hu dictated Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word, letter for letter. And he doesn't have any extra words. Not the way people babble away and they repeat themselves. No, every word has a significance. Every word has a reason why it's written. So therefore, Rabbi Kiva holds he darshan l'shen is kfulim. So because it says aser te aser, so the Sifrei has a comment that from here you learn out that you should give ma'aseh k'safim, not only kol tuaz harecha, what grows from the farm, you should be mafrish ma'aseh, you should be mafrish ma'aseh k'safim and give it to lomdei Torah. That's how it's to support learning, to support yeshivas. That's how the original lashon in the Sifrei. On that pasuk in Parshas Re, to give it to Lomdei Torah. So because Malkitzedek Melech Sholem, Rashi quotes, was Shem Ben Noach and had a yeshiva, so Avraham Avinu felt he's obligated to give. He now acquired ownership of all the 9 cities. He just got $9 million. They had to give Ma'aseh K'safim to support the yeshiva. So then Melech Sodom sees that Avraham Avinu is a charitable individual. So he says, oh, that's so beautiful of you. I used to be the king of Sodom. Do me a favor. Maybe give me 10 li'an nefesh. I see you making major donations. You give ma'aseh k'safim to support Shem Yehva's yeshiva. So maybe make a donation. Let me be back again a king. Give me a matana. Not that he's offering to give Avraham Avinu a matana bar chush kachloch. He's asking, he's begging, please give me back my kingdom. 10 li'an nefesh. So Avraham Avinu says, not only will I give you the nefesh, I'll give you our chush also. I don't want anything. I don't want to be nedam and I guess that my success, I was muchayif to give. I can't cheat the chelek gavoya. Since I came into this wealth, I acquired ownership of all the 9 cities. I'm obligated to give them my success. But everything else I don't want to have. I want to give it back. The Rambam, in the end of Mishneh Torah, writes the history of the development of the mitzvah. So he writes that Adam Rishon was given 6 mitzvahs. He wasn't yet given the mitzvah of Eved Achai because he had to be a vegetarian. After the Mabul, when it was permissible for Noach to eat meat, so he was given the din of Eved Achai. So then you had 7 mitzvahs. That's why we call it 7 mitzvahs Bnei Noach, because in the days of Adam Rishon, there were only 6 mitzvahs. And after Noach, the 7th mitzvah was given. So the Rambam writes, and this is where the world was going to the days of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was given an additional mitzvah of bris milah. Yitzchak Avinu was given the opportunity to be mafrish maestris, because the pasuk says when Yitzchak went to Chevalaza, because there was a vayirav or malvad ha'arav rishana shehaya b'mei Avraham in the next week's sedra. So Yitzchak went to Avimelech Melech Pilishtim Gerora. It grew 100 times as much as what he expected it to grow. Why was he making a cheshbon how much he expected to grow? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, that's this Medrash that the Rambam quotes, is making an omed lemaisris to try to approximate how much maiser is he going to have to give. So you see that Yitzchak kifrish maisris, and Yaakov Avinu was given the mitzvah of Gid Anosha. Absolutely. That's what the Rambam quotes in Medrash. Avraham Avinu was given the mitzvah of Bris Mila, and he instituted davening shachris. Yitzchak Avinu was given the opportunity; he wasn't obligated to. He was given the opportunity to be mafrish maestris, and he instituted mincha. And Yaakov Avinu was given the mitzvah of gid anosha, and he instituted davening ma'ariv. What is the medrash driving at? That the Rambam quoting. So Rav Soloveitchik interpreted in the medrash that Hakadosh Baruch Hu made a bris. Zechatis bisi Yaakov, after bisi Yitzchak, after bisi Avraham Eskar. Or it says, can you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with Avraham, the Yitzchak, and Yankov? What is made a bris? He thought that it meant he gave them Kedushas Yisrael. So why do we have to make a new bris with Yitzchak and a new bris with Yaakov? So there's the first essay in the Mishlah Melech wrote on the Rambam. Mishlah Melech printed on the bottom of the page of the Rambam. He wrote a Sefer Adrush that's called Parashas Drachim. So the first essay is a very famous one. First essay, he discusses whether the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, did they have a din of Bnei Noach or did they have a din of Bnei Yisrael? When did the Jewish people begin to exist? After Matan Torah, over the days of Avraham Avinu. So he makes it, the Mishlei Melech makes it into a machlokes between Tosfos and the Ramban. Maybe we'll discuss it some other time. What the marker is, the machlokes, Tosfos, and the Ramban. So according to Tosfos, the Avos had a din of Bnei Noach, and according to Ramban, the Avos had a din of Bnei Yisrael. So the some Achronim have a compromise sheet. That's Rav Soloveitchik thought that we say when we recite the Birchas HaMitzvah, we say Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvah Yisov V'Tzivanu. Kedusha Yisov is not an abstract concept. In modern Hebrew, you call it Kedusha Artilois, naked Kedusha, just abstract. Kedusha means Kedushanu B'Mitzvah V'Tzivanu. A Kohen has Kedusha Skuni, he's obligated to fulfill certain mitzvahs that other people don't have. Eretzom Gudeshes, there's a Mishnah in the first parak in Kalim that says there are Esse Kedusha saying, Eretzom Gudeshes Mikol HaRotzes, Ayoros HaMakafes Chaim have a higher level of Kedusha than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim has a higher level of Kedusha than the other Ayoros HaMakafes Chaim at the Harabais. In Yerushalayim has a higher level of Kedusha, the Azara has a higher level of Kedusha, and every step of the way, all the 10, 11, the Mishnah says Esek Kedushas, but the Mishnah lists off 11, so all the 11 levels, all the 10, 11 levels, the Mishnah tells you, then Afkamina ala Alacha, Kedusha means that this area has Kedusha, and therefore there are certain mitzvahs that apply, otherwise don't apply. So when you're talking about Kedusha, you're discussing whether the others had Kedusha Sisera. So Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with Avraham Avinu because he gave him one mitzvah, milah. So he had a mitzvah Kedushas Yisrael. He made a separate bris with Yitzchak. Means that Yitzchak had a deeper degree of Kedushas Yisrael because he was given the opportunity to fulfill Afrosha's Maisers. Yaakov Avinu was given the mitzvah of Giran Asher. So he had a deeper degree of Kedushas Yisrael. Then the Rambam has a medrash somewhere. We don't know exactly where the source is. That Amram, the father of Moshe Rabbeinu, was given some mitzvahs in Mitzrayim. What mitzvahs was he given? We don't know exactly. And then Moshe Rabbeinu started to give some of the mitzvahs in Mitzrayim. Then Har Sinai, the rest of the mitzvahs were given on the way to Har Sinai. Shabbos was given. Sham Sam Lachok HaMishpah V'Sham Niso. Some of the mitzvahs were given in Mara, and then the rest of the mitzvahs were given in Har Sinai. So the Rambam gives you the whole, based on this medrash, and he puts together a few midrashim, the whole development of the Taryag mitzvahs. First, Avraham was given one mitzvah, Yitzchak, another mitzvah, Yankiv, another mitzvah, until all the mitzvahs were given. So that's, the Rambam quotes that from the Midrash. So the Ravid has a hasaga on the Rambam. Why does the Rambam say that the first one to be Mafresh Maestris was Yitzchak? Because it says, Vayimtza Me'er Sho'arim, when he left Eretz Yisrael because it was a famine, and he went to Abimelech, Melech Plishtim Gerorah, Vayizu Yitzchak Baratz Ha'i, Vayimtza Me'er Sho'arim. It was 100 times as much as he expected. Why was he making an oimed lemaisris? So you see that Yitzchak hefresh maisris. So why does the Rambam say the first one to be mafresh maisris was Yitzchak? Not the Rambam's fault. He's quoting a Bereshis Rabba. The Rabbi is asking a kasha on the Bereshis Rabba, not on the Rambam. So yes, but it says that Avraham Avinu beitan la maisa mikol. Avraham Avinu gave maisa to Malkut Tzedek Melech Shalem to support the yeshiva because the Malkut Tzedek Melech Shalem was Shem Ben Eva, was Shem Ben Noach. So he gave him Maisa. Why does the Rambam say the first one to give Maisa was Yitzchak? The first one to give Maisa was Avram. So on the side of the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, I think you have the Radvaz. So printed on the page. So the Radvaz says, no, Maisa Ksofim, that's a mitzvah of tzedakah. When it says Avram, Yitzchak was the first one to be Mafrish. Maisa means Maisa on Tvua. Maisa on Tvua that grows in Eretz Yisrael. You Mafrish Maisa. But when Avraham Avinu gave Itla Maisa Mikol, he gave Maisa Ksof. Maisa Ksof is not the din of Maisa, it's a din of tzedakah. A person, everyone should give tzedakah to the extent that it's reasonable, shouldn't give too much. So the approximate amount that you assume everyone can afford, some people can't afford it. Some people make multi-millions of dollars so they can afford to give way more than Maisa Ksof. Sometimes they say, Kol Shatitan Yaser Asren Oloch. The Gemara in Ksubas Daf Nun understands that Yaakov Avinu says, when he's running away from Esav, so he promises that if I pull through, if I survive this whole ordeal, running away from Esav, Kol Asher Titen Li Aser Asrenu Loch. So the Gemara understands, Aser Asrenu I'll give mice, I'll give another mice, I'll give a chomish. The Gemara says in Ksubas Daf Nun, Hamavazmes al Yavazmes yesem chomish. You shouldn't, when you give tzedakah to aniim, you shouldn't give more than 1/5 of your total savings. Shema yeyoni beitztarach labrius. The whole idea of giving to aniim is to take care of the poor. But if you're going to give, if you're going to give more than 20%, yosem yichaimesh, then it may cause you to lose your savings. So then you'll become an ani. So what did you accomplish? The other people are aniim. You gave away your money. Now you became an ani. Charity begins at home. You have to be careful not to become an ani.
Don't you say, quote the most poiskim, my suffer is not the raisa.
Right.
Now, Rome is doing even the rabbonans.
Right. The Ravid happens to hold. The Ravid learned Pacharusa with the Balamor, so he has Hasogas on the Balamor. It's called Kosov Shom. Because every paragraph starts Kosov Shom. The Balamor writes this, and he disagrees. So in the Kosov Shom, we have part of it available. We were still missing a lot of it. But we, a lot of the Kosov Shom is available. So in the Kosov Shom, the Ravid writes, he sounds like he holds that Maisek Sofim is Daraisa. That the drasha that the Sifrei comment on the Pasuk Aser, Taaser is called Tvaz Arecha, two Maisris, Maisek Sofim, that is a real drasha Gemura Daraisa. Yeah, others hold that it's only an Asmachta Midirabbanan, and the accepted opinion that it's not even a Din Midirabbanan, it's just a recommended Midas Chasidus. That everyone should give Maisek Sofim, and if a person can afford, more correct, he should give Chaimesh. But the Yosem Mechamish, that thing Marsis, Amavazmas, Alibaz, Yosem Mechamish, shouldn't give more than a Chaimesh to Aniyim. Shita Mukubdetzis writes there in Ksubas Dafnun, they quote it in Yeredeya. The Birke Yosef quotes it, and then the later Poskim quoted from the Chidon, the Birke Yosef. If you're giving to support yeshivas, you're allowed to give more than Chaimesh. Because the whole consideration, Shema Yayonevi, it's Tarach Labrius, is because charity begins at home, charity for the poor. If you're going to give Yosem Mechamish to Aniyim, then you may become Shema Yayani, you'll become an Ani. What did you accomplish? So you just shifted Aniyas from them to you. But if you're giving to support yeshivas, that's a different kind of tzedakah. So that the Shidim Kubetzis says you can give even more than Chamish. It's permissible to give more than Chamish. Whenever they make appeals for yeshivas, they should always mention that. That Shidim Kubetzis is quoted in the Farsham on Yerideya. Yes, yeah, so we really hold that the Maisek Sofim is not even, it's not only not a Din D'Oraisa, not even a Din D'Rabbanan. Except that opinion that it's a recommended Midas Chasidus. Rameir Arik has in his Tshuvas, he recommends the first time a person gives Maisek Sofim, he should really say, or at least have in mind, B'li Neder. In case 1 year it'll be too difficult for him to give the Maisek Sofim, so it won't be binding. Whenever a person volunteers a Midas Chasidus, so in Shulchan Aruch said you should always say B'li Neder. The Rabbi Yosef Kara writes, the first time you wash until it's Yadayim, till the wrist, the Ikared Din, we paskin, like Tosis, you only have to wash till the knuckles for bread, then when you wake up in the morning. But because Rashi holds you're supposed to wash till the wrist, so that's why we, if you have a lot of water, so you wash till the wrist. So Rabbi Yosef Kara writes, but on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, we go according to the Ikared Din, because V'chitz is Aser. So to wash till the knuckles, you have no choice. You have to. But to wash the rest of the hand, that's also. So when the first time the person washes, before way before Bar Mitzvah, so Nedarim are not binding. A year before Bar Mitzvah, that's Mufla Samach Liyish. So the first time a person washes until it's Yadayim, till a wrist, within the year before Bar Mitzvah, he should really have in mind, or better to say, B'li Neder. So in case there'll be, he won't have enough water, it'll be a Shas HaTchak, or on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, and you're not supposed to wash fully, so he should say he won't be obligated mitam neder. A minig tov is bani mitam neder. This is a minig tov to be machma like Rashi sheet. According to Rashi, everything is different. According to Rashi, the Kohanim have to wash in order to duch until the elbows. Nobody does like that. So we hold the Kohanim only have to wash till the wrist. So the Israelim, when they wash from the Tillis Yadayim for bread, or when they wake up in the morning, that's a joint further down. So that's only Tillinok. Everything is interconnected. The Gemara in the beginning of Kol HaBasa has that. To wash for Duchening, you have to wash till one joint. And to wash for the Kohanim, you wash till one joint less. To wash for bread is one joint less. Yeah. The Gemara in Chulin says that in, as a reward for Avraham Avinu making a Kiddush Hashem, and he said he's not going to take Michut Vatzrech now from the property from the city Sodom, his descendants were Zecher to Chut Shel Tzitzis and to the Ritzuas of the Tefillin. If you ever seen a Chalitza shoe, so they have straps. They don't have shoelaces, they have straps. Straps look just like the Ritzuas on the Tefillin. That's the way they used to make shoes years ago. So that's what the Gemara says, as a reward for making a Kiddush Hashem and giving everything back to Melech Sodom. And he says, I'm not going to take Mechut Vatzrech now. Jewish people were zechet to the mitzvah of Chut Tzitzis, and we were zechet to the mitzvah of Ritzuas of Tefillin. So that's what Rabbi Kiveger on the beginning of Aruch Chaim, when it says, when you wake up in the morning, you should get dressed, you put on the right, there's a minig, the Gemara and Shabbos, there's a minig that when you get dressed, you put on the right shoe first and the left shoe, then you tie the shoelace on the left shoe first, then you tie the shoelace on the right shoe. Why do you tie, why do you do all the mitzvahs first? Why do you do everything with the right side of the body first? Why everything with the right? Because with the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash, a makrav karbonis, they have to do avoda b'yamin. If a Kohen is a lefty, the Mishnah says he can't do avoda. You have to do avoda b'yamin. It has to be the right side of the body. It has to be the stronger of the two arms. So if a Kohen is a lefty, he doesn't have alpidin, he doesn't have a yamin. So not only when the Kohanim do avoda and the Beis HaMikdash, when you're dressing, when you're eating, when you're showering, whenever you do anything, we're always madif the right side of the body. The Rambam has in Hilchas Deis, if the person wants to be healthy and he wants to make a living and he wants to eat and raise his children, everything in order to do Avodas Hashem, so all day long he's considered as if he's doing mitzvah. So just like the Kohanim, Amad, if the Halacha says we prefer the right side of the body for Avodas HaKarbonos, and the right side of the Azara, Kochi Kochim, you do the Shechita in Tzofen. Tzofen is the right side of the Azara. The left side of the Azara is the Dorm. So when the person gets dressed and he takes a shower and everything, he's doing everything as Avodas Hashem. He wants to be healthy in order to be able to fulfill mitzvah Satur. So that's why you do everything. First you put on the right shoe. And then you tie the left shoe first, because we see with respect to tying Ritzuas, Avraham Avinu refused to take the shoe straps. Michut Vatzrech now. So because of the shoe straps that he made in Kiddush Hashem, that's why his descendants were zechut to tefillin. And tefillin you put on the left arm. Normally people put tefillin on the left arm. So since the left arm is more important with respect to tefillin, and the tefillin was given to the Jewish people as a reward for Avraham Avinu's refusing to take the srech now, so that's why we want to make a zechut to that. So it's a minik from the days of the Tanaim. The Gemara quotes the minik from the days of the Tanaim. When you get dressed, you put on the right shoe first, and you put on the left shoe, and then you tie the left shoe first, then you tie the right shoe. Yeah, women is a machlokes, where the women don't wear tefillin. So that by women also you makbid that they should tie the left shoe first, or by women it doesn't make a difference. So may as well do everything on the right side first, tie the right shoe first. So that's Shlomo Zalman's nephew put out a sefer, Halichas Beisa, all the dinim that the women have to know. So he quotes his uncle a lot there. So he quotes his uncle, Reb Shlomo Zalman, held that it doesn't apply to women, only applies to men. And he quotes many others, contemporaries of Reb Shlomo Zalman, thought not so, that even women who don't wear tefillin should also have this minig, that they should tie the left shoe first. The pasuk tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu he was in his tent. He told him, go out of your tent. Look up to the sky. Try to count the stars. That's impossible. So the Jewish people will multiply so much, it'll be impossible to take a census of the Jewish people. So based on this, we have a minig that when a young couple gets married and you want to bless them that they should have children, so they get married tachas kippas harakia. Some interpret that the Yerushalmi already has this minig. Tosis and Yuma quotes a Yerushalmi. It's very unclear what the Yerushalmi is saying. So some Achrayim interpret that's what Yerushalmi is assuming, that a young girl, if a woman is remarrying at the age of 65, a second zivik sheni, so we don't give her a blessing, she should have children. She's too old to have children. But when she's a young girl, so the meaning is when the chassan goes to Badek and the Rabbanim are supposed to give her bracha, achaseno atayili alfei revavo. And that's why the minig is that you get married tachas kippas harakia to invoke that blessing kol yehi zarecha. The minhag always was that they went out from the house to get married outside. Based on the pasuk by Yose Osa Achutza, Kodesh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, go out of your tent. Now they have a shtick. Instead of having the chas and kala go outside, sometimes it's raining or snowing outside. It's bad weather. Sometimes it's freezing. So it's not comfortable to get married outside. The Achronim say you should get married outside, but you shouldn't make a chil Hashem. What do you mean you shouldn't make a chil Hashem? I remember I was once at a wedding, Rabbi Perla, who just passed away. So I remember when his daughter got married. So they got married in Williamsburg, I think, in the street, and it was raining. And the chuppah was purple cloth, and the water was collecting on top of the chuppah, and the kala was wearing a white gown, and the purple dye was dripping on her gown and made stains in the gown. And the goyim were hanging out the windows and looking and laughing at the Jewish people. These crazy people get married outside in the rain. It's raining outside. So I thought at that time, that's what the Achronim say. You should get married, tachas kippah zeh kippah, but don't make kechil Hashem. Means if it's raining or snowing outside, to get married inside, you don't get married outside. So now a lot of the halls have the shtick. Instead of having the chas and kala, have the chuppah outside, they take the roof off. They take the roof off from that room. So your tachas kippah zeh kippah. The pashta says that that's not the minhag. The minhag was by yotzer osa achutza. He told Avraham Avinu to leave his tent and go outside. That's what you want to demonstrate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, he's giving him a matana b'Eretz Yisrael. There's a sefer Matei Moshe. Again, Avraham quotes a lot from the Matei Moshe, one of the early Achronim. So the Matei Moshe, I think he was a Talmud of the Rama, if I'm not mistaken, a Talmud of the Marshal, somewhere over there. So the Matei Moshe says that the meaning is when you go to a bris, you give whoever participates in a bris, gives a gift. So he says, the mocker is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu participated in the bris of Avraham Avinu, and he gave him a matana, he gave him Eretz Yisrael. So when you go to a bris, you should give some significant matana, like a country. You should give a matana to the Bali HaSimcha. And then on the occasion of the bris of Avraham Avinu, so that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed his name from Avraham to Abraham. So that's why we have the minig that we give the Kri Hashem by the bris. Sometimes the bris has to be postponed because the baby is not well. So some people have the insistence, you don't give a name until you perform the bris. Sometimes it's going to be half a year later when the baby is up to having a bris. So they quote from Moshe Feinstein, that's not really right. If it's normal, the baby's going to have a bris a day or two after the eighth day, okay, so you wait for the bris. The meaning is, do the Kriya Hashem by the bris. But it's going to be, the baby is not well and you're going to have to wait a long time and you want to be mispalel, the baby should be well. So you give the baby a name. So you'll be able to be mispalel for the refuah for the baby. Sometimes the nurses in the hospital hear that the parents didn't give a name. They don't understand why they didn't give a name. So they assume the parents gave up hope. They don't think the child will survive. So if the parents gave up hope, so the nurses won't be moisa nefesh to work so hard. So sometimes it's recommended that you should give a name if the baby's very sick, that the nurses should be encouraged. If they say, no, we're not going to give a name, it sounds as if we don't think the baby's going to survive. So that's terrible. So sometimes you should give a name even before the bris. Torah says that when Yishmael was born, so the Malach told Hagar, hu ye pera adam, usually in Hebrew, you say the noun, then you say the adjective afterwards. You don't say, he is a good boy. In English, you say, good boy, or a nice piece of jewelry. So you say the adjective before the noun. In Hebrew, you say, yelad tov, adova nechmad. You say nechmad, the adjective you say after the noun. So here, if the Malach meant to say he's going to be a wild Indian, he would have said, huye adam pirai. Adam Pera, but it says he's going to be a Pera Adam, means Adam is an adjective. The definition of Yishmael is he's a Pera. And Adam is he's a Pera in the form of a human. He looks like a human being, but he really isn't. It doesn't say he's going to be a Adam Pera, he's going to be a Pera Adam. Two different things. Avraham Avinu's name was changed from Avraham to Abraham. What was his significance? So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he's Av HaMangoyim Nisatichah. What does that mean? So the Mishnah in Bikurim has a machlokes hatanaim. When a ger has a buys a farm in Eretz Yisrael and he brings Bikurim, does he recite Mikra Bikurim as well or not? Because in Mikra Bikurim, either you say the whole parsha, you don't say it all. You don't say the psukim that apply to you and leave out the other psukim. Kriya Kichsabe requires you say either all or nothing. So the machlokes hatanaim is, can the ger really say, Avarachas Adam Shenishvata Labesena Los Islam? Can the ger say, can the ger refer to Avram Yitzchak Yaakov as Avosenu? He is not a biological descendant of Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. So that's why the Mishnah says he cannot say Avosenu. When the ger davens, he can't say Elokeinu Elokei Avosenu Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak Elokei Yaakov. Has to say Elokeinu Elokei Avos Yisrael Elokei Avram. But he can't say Elokeinu Elokei Avosenu. And the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch Paschim, like the other Tana in Yerushalmi, like the Tana Rabbi Yudah, Taisus and Baba Basu Daf Bayalov has machlekes Diri and the Rabbi Natan had a paskin. But in the Shulchan Aruch, they accepted psakas like the Rambam that the ger is maybe Bikuri, that even though he's not a biological descendant of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, but because Avraham Avinu's name was changed to Avraham, Avhamongoi Misatircha means that Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov are the founding fathers of the Jewish religion. So whoever joins the Jewish religion can refer to Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov as Avoseinu. That's the way we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. He can refer to them as Avoseinu. The question is whether the ger says the bracha shelo asani goy in the morning. He was born a goy. How can he say shelo asani goy? So that's a big shaila. Some say he should say shasani Yisrael. Also questionable. It wasn't asani. He was asani goy. He converted. That's a big issue. What exactly, what bracha should the ger say? Yeah, mitzvahs mila, Taisus claims, and mitzvahs asei shehas man grom, because it can only be fulfilled by yom and not by laila. The Turiyevin disagrees with the Taisus. He thinks that that's not called as man. Zman grom means if the chiyuv only apply. Here, the kiyum, the time to fulfill a mitzvah, is you can only fulfill a mitzvah by yom and not by laila. But balayla, there is a chiyuv. There's a chiyuv by yom and balayla, but the chiyuv can only be fulfilled by yom. But Tosfos holds that it's a mitzvah says that shazman grama. So Tosfos is bothered with the kasha. Why did the Gemara in Kiddushin daf chavtes need a pasuk to indicate that the mother is not mechuyev in milah sabein? Women shouldn't be mechuyev in milah because it's really a mitzvah says shazman grama. That's Tosfos kasha. So there's a Tosfos in Megillah, but Tosfos says that maybe we need a pasuk because since there's kores, there's never chorus on the father who's not mal the child. There's chorus if the child doesn't mal himself. After the child becomes by mitzvah and he doesn't take care of the bris milah, that'll be a punishment of chorus. What do you mean he doesn't take care, has a whole lifetime ahead of him? So the Rambam writes, if he dies and by the end of his life he never fulfilled the mitzvah, dies at the age of 100 and he never fulfilled the mitzvah milah, so then he's chayv chorus. So the chorus will be, he'll be punished with chorus after he dies. The Raibid disagrees with the Rambam. The Raibid says no. The day that he's by mitzvah, he's mechuyev to take care of the bris. And if he postpones one day, he's already chayv koris. Even if he does tshuva and he takes care of the bris milah a week later, but he's already chayv koris for postponing. In Shulchan Aruch, it says like the Raivid. It's in Makkos, in the third paragraph, Machlokes, Rashi, and Tosfos. But it's more famous, the same Machlokes, it's more famous, the Rambam and the Raivid. So in Shulchan Aruch, they adapted the position of the Raivid that is koris b'chol yoyim. And the Vilna Gaon says, the look is Shita Saramam, the chorus is only if he dies and he doesn't have a chorus. So the Tosfos in Megillah, like in Chof and Mebeis, Tosfos writes that since mitzvahs mila sometimes has chorus, so there, I would have thought that women are mechuyev despite the fact that it's a zman grama. What's the logic? Why would I have thought that's why I need a pasuk? So this is Fasemis in the Chidushim and Psochem and Dav Tzadik, where the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim. Are women obligated to bring Korban Pesach? If they want to, they certainly can participate in Korban Pesach. That's a machlokes. But in Noshim Berishin, Pesach Rishin, Pesach Sheni. So Noshim Berishin Chayva and Noshim Berishin Rishus. And even if you're the Noshim Berishin Chayva, could be the Noshim Bisheni is Rishus. So everything, different opinions. So the gist of the Gemara is that the one who thinks that women are potter from Korban Pesach, the burden of proof is on him. He has to prove that women are potter. So the Sfasemis says it should be the reverse. He should start off the Muskal Rishon. The first thought should be that Korban Pesach is a Zman Grama. So we should really say Noshim Apata from Korban Pesach. The burden of proof should be on the one who says women. I'm a chayiv in Korban Pesach. How come the Gemara is all forget? The assumption is that women are chayiv in Korban Pesach, and the one who wants to say Noshim Apata, it's optional. The burden of proof is on him. Why should it be as man grama? So this Fasem says the answer is because there's chorus. And whenever there's chorus, there can't be chorus for not fulfilling a mitzvah. It must be that the essay of bringing Korban Pesach is not only a chiyuv essay, it's an iser essay. Because there's such a Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos in the third perek in Makkos, perek Elohein Aloiken, where the Rambam writes, whenever there's chorus biyodua, that there's a lav. So the Lechem Mishnah and the Rambam in Hilchas Sanhedrin quotes this Pirush HaMishnayos and says, it's not true. The first Mishnah increases, list of all the Lamed Vav Krisis, Amuris Batara, 36 are there, which there's a punishment of chorus. And it says, Pesach HaMila, the two mitzvahs essay with this chorus. So it says, Beferish, that this chorus on Pesach HaMila. So how can the Rambam say, whenever this chorus is biyodu, whether there's a lav? So I think the Rambam didn't necessarily mean a lav. He means that those two essen of Pesach HaMila must be that it's not only a kiyum essay, it's an iser essay as well. If there's no iser essay, it can't be chorus for bitla mitzvah, but not fulfilling a mitzvah. It's considered avera. If you don't do bris mila, you don't bring a korban pesach, is considered an avera. So that's what the svasem says by korban pesach, that the one who doesn't bring a korban pesach is punished with kares. So that's an iser asay. So we know that women are mechuyev hish hakasav ish aliyish for all alavim, even though alav is as man grama. So alav abam mechlal asay, also women are mechuyev. So that's women should have been mechuyev in korban pesach, despite the fact that it's as man grama. Because it's in addition to being a kiyum essay, it has an iser essay. But by bris mila, the chorus is only on the child. When the child grows up and he doesn't take care of his own bris mila, he'll be chayv chorus. But there's never chorus on the parent. So that's why Tosfos wasn't sure. So the Tosfos in Megillah, Daf Chaf Amud Beis, made a suggestion, maybe since there is chorus for the vlad, even though there's not chorus for the parent, maybe that's why the Gemara needed a pasuk to say that the mother is potter. Maybe he would have thought, since there is chorus involved, that means that even Milas HaBein also has an Iser Esi to it as well. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, in the Sugya of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, so the Gemara learns out from a pasuk that Avraham Avinu was obligated to be mal all of the B'nei Keturah. After Sarah died, it says that he married the Keturah. The Rashi and Chumash quotes the Medrash, the Keturah was Hagar, so he married her a second time, not as a Pilagish, as a wife. So the B'nei Keturah b'chayv mila. So the Shagazari has a tshuva. He points out there's a machlokes. The Pischi tshuva in Hilchas Mila quotes this. Rashi understands Avraham Avinu was mechuyev to be mal the six sons that Keturah had, but not that B'nei Keturah throughout all the generations. Whoever is a descendant for the B'nei Keturah ad hayom hazeh still mechuyev to be mal themselves. No, the B'nei Noach only have the seven mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Avraham Avinu was the father, so that's why he was mechuyev to be mal the six B'nei Keturah. That's Rashi. The Rambam writes, not so. The Rambam writes that anyone who's descendant for the B'nai Keturah is chayv to be mal himself today, but we don't know who's who. Bos al-acher v'bilbil is kol ha'olam kuloi. So where does that leave you? So the Rambam says, therefore, all the nochem ha'muchayiv to be mal themselves, maybe they're all descendants from the B'nai Keturah. Wow. And you don't go bos ha'roiv. You don't go bos ha'roiv. Apparently, acharav l'hat only applies to Israel. And if a nochri will not be mal himself today, he won't be chayv misa because it's a sofik. Who says that he's from the B'nai Keturah? But if it would have been a vadai, then the Rambam seems to assume that if a B'nai Keturah today is a vadai ben Keturah and he's chayv mila and he doesn't fulfill the mitzvah, it'll be chayv misa. The Ramban HaChumash disagrees with the Rambam in another context about dinim. The Rambam holds that why did Shimon Velevi have the right to wipe out the whole city Shechem? So he said because they saw Shechem ben Hamor attack the girl. He raped Dina, and they let him get away with it. Now they didn't bring him to court to punish him. So they were all mevatla mitzvah of dinim. So the Rambam says that's why they all bechayev misa because they were mevatla mitzvah of dinim. So the Ramban says as a rasam zuim misasam when the Bnei Noach violate an avera of the Sheva Mitzvahs, they deserve an Einish Mitzvah, but not if they're not Mekayim a Mitzvah. If there's a Mitzvah, they're not Mekayim. So here, the Rambam says the same by both. when the benoyach is not mekayim one of a mitzvah of his, not only if he violates an aver, if he know for sure that he's from the bnei keturah today and he's not mal himself, so the Rambam says it will be chayim misa only because there's a suffix. That's why they're not chayim misa. That's mechudish dika Rambam. The Shagazari thinks that Rashi is more correct. He thinks that the Poshe Pshat in the Gemara, only Avraham Avinu was mechuyev to be mal his six sons from bnei keturah, but not that Lidoris, all the bnei keturah who are descendants from the original bnei keturah, should be chayev to perform mila bizman hazeh. And the Haftar, there's a famous pasuk that in a lot of the yeshivas where they have a balkori leaning from a klaf, so they're makbid to lean it the way the Radak says. Everybody pronounces the pasuk b'kovei Hashem yachlifu koyach. Those who hope to Hakadosh Baruch Hu tikva kovei Hashem yachlifu koyach. So the Radak claims the pasuk appears twice in Tanakh. So he says over here the correct pronunciation in the Haftarah is koyei. And the other pasuk, he thinks the correct pronunciation is kovei. But the one that we say this Shabbos for the Haftarah, the Radak thinks the correct pronunciation should be koyei. So on a lot of yeshivas, where they have a balkari laning from the klaf, so they're makben on that to lane correctly. Yesterday in Shia, we were discussing all of the dinim of bris milo. We've covered approximately half of the dinim, so I believe that next Thursday we'll try to finish the rest of the dinim. Everyone should have a good Shabbos. Should all be healthy.
May have great Shabbos. Mazel tov.
Amen. Should all have simchas.
I just wanted to ask, but like the Rambam, the Goyim is called Purish as opposed to Kavua? Just later.
If a person does know who he is that called Kavua?
And why wouldn't that be Kavua?
The Gemara says that a Ger is a Mishnah, a Ger Amoni converted. And then the shaila was whether he's allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael. So Rabbi said, "Bas and Chere Bilbul is called Alam Kuli Go Bas Aroiv." So he's not a Ger Amoni.
Yeah.
See that you do go Bas Aroiv. However, you understand it.
Oh, there's Parish.
Why is it Parish? He doesn't know who he is.
But yeah, but I mean, but now he did a Maisa to separate himself.
He's Jewish now, but if he's a descendant from Amoin, so then he's an Amoini.
So
some understand, once you have Basar Chere Bilbul, it's called Amkuloi, so no one knows what their nationality is. So it's, you're not called a part of that nation. Perhaps the same over here, that they're not called Bnei Keturah anymore. Maybe Bnei Keturah is not a nation. Maybe it's a Yichus. It doesn't help. Bilbul is called Amkuloi. Maybe that sort of Bilbul only helps on nationalities. I don't know. Why did the Rambam say everyone is mechuyev to be mal? All the nochma mechuyev to be mal because of the suffering. Maybe they're descendants of Bnei Keturah. Why don't you go basarayv? So they say apparently the Rambam thinks that you don't go basarayv by nochrim. After he converts, then he's Jewish. Then he say, oh, by Jewish people, you go basarayv. That's what some achrayim say. Questionable whether that's correct that the achram lahatas doesn't apply to nochrim. Very good. Very good.
Good Shabbos. Belated Mazel Tov.
Thank you.
So Shiva will stay on for a couple of minutes. Just have some Shabbos.
Yeah.
And yeah. Okay. Thank you. So when it comes to Kriya Satorah in Minyanim that we're doing, the Baal Korah gets all the Aliyahs.
Yeah.
If there are multiple Baal Kriya, should we split the Aliyahs as normal, i.e. seven people get seven aliyahs, or we should do the two Baalei Kriya each get their aliyahs?
Then you have an opportunity to make seven people lane.
Well, in this case, it's two people laning. That's just how it worked out.
So if you, let's say you have two Baalei Kriya, so one is going to lane, let's say, four aliyahs, one is going to lane three aliyahs. So if he's going to get more than one aliyah, then it's not really right. See, we always make koisofis because Mikra Adin, the Rabbin Tam says, Mikra Adin, we pass the maftir is the last, the seventh aliyah is really maftir. But because there was one opinion in the Gemara, the maftir is in addition to the seven aliyah, so we wanted to satisfy that opinion also. So every Shabbos we make koisofis, we give eight aliyahs. But it only makes sense to make Lahisof. You want to spread the wealth. More people get aliyahs. But if two people are laning, one's going to get three or four aliyahs, the other one's going to get three or four. So why should you make Lahisof that each one should get four? He already got three aliyahs. Why should he hog more aliyahs? So you should really only, if you have two people, you have two people, and he's going to lane half of this, he's going to lane half. So you really shouldn't lane mafter. You really shouldn't give seven aliyahs to the two and say chatzi kaddish and then say mafter with the haftarah. They should only give seven aliyahs and not say the chatzi kaddish. And whoever got the last aliyah, the seventh aliyah, should say the haftarah afterwards and then say the chatzi kaddish after the haftarah. That's what the Magen Avraham points out there. The chatzi kaddish should be recited after the bracha at the end of all the haftarah. Mekadesh HaShabbos. After the bracha, Mekadesh HaShabbos, at the conclusion of the haftarah, then the Baal Kareh should say the chatzi kaddish. Yeah.
Okay. And then if we do have multiple Baal Kriya, should the same... should the first one do the Hotzah and then the second one do the Achnas, or should it be the same person?
Whatever is recommended by the doctors, get a good doctor and have him recommend something. Okay.
Okay, and also if you have multiple Baal Kriya that are Kohanim, so can a Kohen take the later aliyahs that are designated for Yisrael?
You got no choice. You got no choice. You should call a Kohanim. Okay. The only Balik Riyah Kohanim, okay.
Right, but Yisrael shouldn't lay in the beginning and then a Kohen at the end, right?
That's a good idea. If you have a choice, you can arrange it. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Rabbi. Have a good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos, everybody. Should all be healthy.
Is it okay if I ask Rav Shachter or Shaila?
Sure.
I'm learning with my Chavrusa by phone. And he's a part of a yeshiva that if I daven mincha b'tzibur, I would have to be mafsik the second seder. So is it? I mean, he tainted that I should daven b'chidus before our chavrusa so that I could learn with him during the normal time. I thought the only
I would choose to do like that also. Davening b'tzibur means you're going to lose time from learning. So, better to learn more. Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Rosh Shiva, just one last question. If someone has a choice between he has to go in an elevator on Shabbos or he could walk up the stairs, but in the stairs, the lights will turn on. But in the stairs, in this case that I have the case here, there are already lights in the stairs. It's just more lights will turn on if the person walks up them. So, but or he could have the doorman who's not Jewish to press the button. So what should the person do?
I mean, if he goes in the staircase, he'll be doing a psikreshin on Yichalei. And if he goes in the elevator, he'll be doing Amir Lanachri.
Yeah, and I guess also the according to the poskim who hold that it's a problem of the weight in the elevator. So that would also be a problem in the elevator.
I think the weight in the elevator, that'll be a problem if I walk into the elevator, nothing is going to happen unless someone pushes the button. But the one who pushes the button is doing everything. And I think the weight is significant there. You can stand for today till next year. If the elevator is not going to move until someone pushes the button. So the one who pushes the button is doing all the malachas. I think so. I think we assume that Meir Eliakum is less of an Issa than
And so it shouldn't be choshish that even if whatever two Jews go in the elevator and the elevator will have to put in more kochos to lift up two people, but we should go in the elevator.
I think so.
And even though the lights are there are already lights in the stairs, so it's definitely not nichalei. But okay, thank you very much for
shiur. Whether it's mutar or us.
Thank you. Good job.
Very good. Should all be healthy. We should all be zechet to pull through this. Okay.
Amen. Amen.